once you get to Romans chapter 10, if you found Romans chapter 10, how many found Romans chapter 10? That is in the New Testament. All right, would you stand with me? Amen. Now, I know you just got comfortable, and I did that on purpose because I knew you were too comfortable. Now, if you will, look down at, and we'll start reading verse 8. We're going to read down through about verse 15. All right. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that calleth on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's read on. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thanks for this opportunity to be in your house. I ask, dear God, that you will work a mighty work in our midst. I pray that decisions will be made for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would not leave here until that decision has been made, until they have placed their trust in Jesus and been saved. Lord, please be with those that are saved. Help us to determine to reach somebody for Christ this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I hesitate to tell a story because I've been here quite a few years in a row, and it seems to me that I've told all the stories I know, and you've heard them all at least two or three times. And so I'm going to tell you a story anyhow, because I know you've heard it, but if you haven't heard it, that's good. And if you have heard it, just say, well, that was a good story. I remember some years ago taking a trip in a Cessna 176 airplane with missionary Bob Adams. I don't know, anybody know Bob Adams here? Okay. Wings bearing precious seed, and I took a trip with him and his Cessna, and we landed at this little airport, and just a dinky little airport, and we tied the airplane down, and you got to know Brother Bob Adams. He's never met a stranger. Now, I have. I've met some strangers that I would shy away from. But he has never met a stranger. And we tied that airplane down, and we went into the hangar. And there was a fella clear across the hangar. And Brother Bob Adams cupped his mouth and said, "Are you saved?" And that guy clear across the hangar just kind of waved at him. And I got to thinking about that, you know, and I got to thinking about that question, are you saved? You know, there's different responses you get with that, are you saved? A lot of people don't really understand that question, are you saved? You know, I'm not real sure that's the best way to approach somebody nowadays. You know, are you saved? They're looking at you, and most people are saying, well, saved from what? Somebody might come along and say, well, I hope so. Or, you know, I'm working at it. And I remember asking a fellow if he was saved, and he says, well, I'm a member of, and he told me the church he was a member of. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I didn't ask you if you were a member of a church. Yeah. You know, I asked you if you were saved. And I've had people say, well, I was baptized at a certain time. And I said, no, I'm not concerned about your baptism. I don't want to know if you were baptized. Are you saved? That's the question. And you know something? I believe that every person in the world has to ask themselves that question. The Bible says examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You've got to examine your heart. Are you really saved? You know, it's a question that many people are confused about. There's a lot of people, you could go every door in the neighborhood and ask somebody if they were saved, and you get varied responses. But I dare say probably everybody around here is a member of some church. And they're kind of mixed up. They're confused concerning that question. And I kind of wonder about some of these churches. When you use the term saved, and people are scratching their head wondering what you're talking about, what do these churches talk about, for heaven's sakes? What do they get into? I mean, I want to know I'm saved. I want that thing taken care of before I'm on my deathbed. You see? I want to know that I'm saved. You see, I don't want to be driving my car down the highway sometime, have that 18-wheeler cross over into my path, and have that head-on collision, and as I'm passing out of the world thinking, am I saved? No. As my life is passing before my eyes, I want to see that point in my life where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
You see, and I got saved. You see, I want to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You see, that term, even though people are perplexed with the term saved, it's a Bible word. And we just read it, by the way, here in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many years ago now, I met a man by the name of Jack Parchman. Brother Jack Parchman, one of my favorite men, and one of my closest friends in all the world was Brother Jack Parchman, him and Brother Harold Boyd. And it was Brother Jack Parchman that introduced me to Brother Harold Boyd, and we were always very close friends since then. And I suppose it's been over 30 years, maybe 40 years, almost 40, that I met Brother Parchman. And I asked Brother Parchman, he preached a message one night at a camp. And he stood there and made the most amazing statement I've ever heard in my life. He said, the Spirit of God has told me that there are, and I believe the number was four, there are four people here that need to be saved. My wife was sitting beside me and I poked her and I said, this guy's crazy. I have never heard a preacher make such a statement as that. But he said, the Spirit of God has told me there's four people that need to be saved here tonight. Well, the invitation drug on, and I was saying to myself, man, this can go on all night. There's nobody going to walk the aisle. And nobody did walk the aisle. And I said to my wife, I said, see, he's crazy. And so I gave up on it. I said, I'm not going back. I won't go back tomorrow night. We were at the camp. I was determined I was going to leave tomorrow morning, and we would never come back. I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Anybody make a stupid statement like that? I was disgusted with him. I was fed up. Next morning, we got out of bed. We went down to eat breakfast and found out four people got saved during the night that were in that service. What on earth? I want to find out who these four people were. Where did they conjure these people up? You know, I'm sure they made up these stories. But no, they're actual events that took place during the night. People that were in that service that were lost, knew they should have went forward, got saved in the night, made telephone calls, called back, called Brother Parchman, called the other preacher, and said, yes, I got saved in that. Four people got saved that night. So we went to breakfast. I said to my wife, I got to get to know this guy. So I went to Brother Parchman. I sat down with him, and I said, you know, brother, I got to be honest. I thought you were nuts last night to make a stupid statement like that. And then when I heard that four people got saved, and I said, I want to get close to somebody that's that close to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm pastoring a little bitty church up in northern Iowa. I said, would you come up and preach for me? I said, will you come to a little church? He said, well, sure. You know, Brother Parchman, he wouldn't turn down anybody. So he went up there, and every night he kept saying things like, there's somebody here that needs to be saved. There's somebody here that needs to be saved. Almost every night somebody's getting saved. And Brother Parchman is so close, walked so close to the Spirit of God, he knew people were lost. And they'd walk through the door, he'd know they were lost. He'd shake their hand, he knew they were lost. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to be that close to the Spirit of God. And I was amazed with Brother Parchment, but he was obsessed with getting people saved. He'd come up to Black River, New York, where I pastored, and put up his old tent out there and have those. You were talking about the things blasting, and he'd have that thing blasting. The whole village could hear the tent meeting, and we'd have people that were sitting on their porch across the village that would sit there and listen to the messages every year. One year we didn't have Brother Parchment. I can't remember what happened. We didn't have him come, and somebody called me up and said, "Hey, how come you're not having the tent meeting this year?" I mean, they didn't ever come to the tent. They listened to it from their home. "How come you don't have it coming this year?" I said, "I'm sorry. It's just one of those things that happened." But there were people getting saved in their homes as a result. He was obsessed with this thing called salvation. He was obsessed with it. It'd be good for us to get obsessed with that. And be obsessed with people getting saved. This thing called salvation is very important. Do you understand that? Being saved is important, and knowing for sure you're saved. I want to talk about being saved tonight. Now, I just let's go quick, and you listen quick, and there's something here for you. Even if you're saved, there's something here for you. I want you to notice first, the saved have a Savior. The saved have a Savior. You know what the difference is between somebody that knows they're saved and somebody that doesn't know they're saved? The saved have a Savior. Those that don't know they're saved think they have to do something. You go out there and you say, "Are you saved?" "Well, I hope so. I'm doing this and I'm doing that." No, I didn't ask you what you're doing. Are you saved? You see, those that are saved know they don't have to do anything. It was already done by a Savior that did it for them. You see, the Savior came to this earth to do something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. The Savior was the one that bore the cross. The Savior was the one that laid His life down on the cross. The Savior was the one that died on the cross. The Savior was the one who shed His blood. The Savior did that for us. You can't be good enough. The Savior did it for you. Look, if you will, over here in the book of Titus. You might hold your finger there in Romans. We might get back to that. But look in the book of Titus, if you will. And notice what it says in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, down here in verse 3, we'll start reading. And we'll go to about verse 7. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our..." What's that next word? Savior. Oh, I like that word. Don't you like that word? "Toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He..." What's that next word? "Saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Two times we find there, verse 4, God our Savior. Verse 6, God, Jesus Christ our Savior. We have a Savior. How can we be saved without a Savior? How can we ever enter heaven without a Savior? We can't. There is no salvation without a Savior. We have to have. Neither is there salvation in any other. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's Jesus Christ, our Savior. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 6. Our Savior said... Jesus, our Savior. Isn't that what it says here? Jesus Christ, our Savior. In John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our Savior said that. Oh, I'm glad I've got a Savior today. I'm glad I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I'm not trying to do anything to enter heaven. Only what our Savior has done for us can we get to heaven. And can we be saved? "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our Savior came specifically to do something. To save. What does a Savior do? Well, he saves. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus came to save. He's a Savior. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. See, the difference between us that know a Savior and those that don't know what salvation is, we have a Savior. The saved have a Savior. Then next, the saved are saved from something. You know something, if I walked up to you, there's probably a lot of different ideas what you were saved from if you're saved tonight. Most of you, if I said, "What were you saved from?" Most of you would say hell. And that's not a bad answer, but that's really not what you were saved from. You were saved from your sin. You see, it's your sin that's going to send you to hell. And you were saved from your sin. See, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. What is it? What is it that separates us from God? Sin. You see, it's that sin that we have in our life that separates us from God. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand how bad they are. I mean, I'm as good as the guy next door. Well, we're all as good as the guy next door. Problem is, with the guy next door, he's just as wicked as I am. And I'm just as wicked as he is. You see, I'm measuring myself by the wrong measuring stick when I measure myself against somebody else. I mean, I'm better than some drunk lying in the street, am I? No, not really. I'm measuring myself by the wrong measuring stick, and I need to measure myself against the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the perfect, sinless one. He's the just who died for the unjust. He's the one that had no sin, that took upon Him our sin. He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary. See, all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see? And Jesus came, and He went to the cross of Calvary to take care of our sin problem. What was it? How did John the Baptist introduce Jesus? Remember? "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which saves us from hell." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There's the Lamb of God. Everybody knew what he was talking about, the Lamb of God. He was talking about the sacrificial Lamb that was going to be sacrificed for us. Yes, we were saved from hell. That's that eternal damnation that we deserve. And by the way, well, I wish I got my just desserts. No, you don't. You know, if you got your just desserts, you'd be in the pits of hell. You see, that's eternal damnation. That's what we deserve because we're sinners. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who went to the cross for us. There's a difference between the rich man in Luke chapter 16 and Lazarus. Lazarus was the one who placed his trust in Jesus Christ. The rich man, he was placing his trust in his riches. And when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. But here, when the rich man died, he lost everything and he went to the pits of hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He was without Christ, without hope. There was no hope for him to ever come out of that awful, awful place. And as he lifted up his eyes in hell, he prayed, "Please send somebody to my brethren so they won't come to this awful place." I want to tell you something. If you've had a family member that was lost and they've gone on to hell, I want to tell you something. They're praying for you that you don't go to that awful place. Because there's nobody around that's any more for missions than those that are in hell right now. They want their family to be saved. They want those that they knew to be saved. They want people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because they're in that awful place. Do you realize that Jesus Christ, our Savior, saved us from a life of sin? Saved us from a life of sin. Folks, in John chapter 10, in verse 10,
it says that we can have life more abundant. The only way we can live an abundant life is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as we live that abundant life, we realize that we've got we don't have to live a life where we're wallowing around in sin. And the only way you can live abundant life is you live it above sin. Like we sing that song every time we start our services, you know, I don't do the things I used to do. I don't say the things I used to say. I don't go the places I used to go. Why? Because I've got a Savior. You saved me. You say, I don't want to do the things I used to do. I don't want to say the things I used to say. I don't want to get involved in the things I used to get involved in because I've got a Savior. The saved are saved from some things. Now, the saved have a salvation that lasts for all of eternity. I've told you, I'm sure I've told you the story about my cousin. My cousin belongs to another type of denomination. They believe that you can lose your salvation. And I can remember times when I sat down with my cousin and we'd argue about things. And it seems like we were always arguing about eternal security. And finally, I'd ask him, I said, Steve, what does eternal life mean? And he'd just shake his head and say, oh, you Baptists. Like, we Baptists put eternal life in the Bible somehow. But he never had an answer for that. He never had an answer for eternal life. How can you have an answer for that? You know, my Bible says that in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You see, His Word is at stake. His Word is at stake. He's put His Word at stake, and He's elevated His Word above His name. And it's so important to keep His Word. You read the Gospel of John, and as you go through the Gospel of John, you mark down how many times it says, so the Scripture can be fulfilled. So the Scriptures could be fulfilled. So the Scriptures could be fulfilled. Over and over again it says that in the Gospel of John. Not only John, but other parts of Scriptures say that, but especially John. And the fact of the matter is that we know that God is going to fulfill His Word into the minutest detail. And if He tells us that He's going to give us eternal life, mark it down. It's eternal life. He's not going to take it away from us. Listen, if you could be saved today, and you could be gloriously saved and know for sure you're saved today, folks, how could it be eternal life if tomorrow you could lose it? That wasn't eternal life that you received, if you could lose it. You can't lose it because it's not eternal life if you could lose it. God would be a liar. And my God is not a liar. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've been telling you, I got everlasting life when I got saved at the age of 8. I walked an aisle and I got down on my knees and that preacher put his arm around me and said, what do you need, son? And I'll never forget it. I said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, well, you need a Savior. And He introduced me to Jesus Christ as my Savior that morning. And I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ and I asked Jesus to do something for me that I couldn't do for myself. I asked Him to save me. And He saved me at the age of 8. Now, I haven't always lived for Him. I haven't always been with Him, but He's always been with me. He's never left me nor forsook me. And folks, I want you to understand, He gave me eternal life at that moment. Now, that doesn't mean this old shell I live in is going to live eternally. That's not what that means. This old physical body is falling apart. It ain't what it used to be. This old physical body doesn't spring like it used to spring. It doesn't get out of bed like it used to get out of bed. It doesn't get tired. I mean to tell you, it gets weary. I tell you, it's just not ain't what it used to be. And but you know something? The golden years don't seem so golden to me. You know, when I was 25, I used to jump out of bed. Now I just kind of crawl out of bed. You know that? And sometimes it's really hard for me to stand up in the morning. This old body's falling apart. And one of these days, they're going to take this old body and they're going to put it 6 foot under. But I still have eternal life. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that neat? I like that verse. Be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'll be with the Lord. I'm going to live eternally. Now, what makes me think that? Well, the Bible says so. I received eternal life. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what? Know that ye have everlasting life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And now the Bible says, this is the record. What does He mean, this is the record? He's talking about that book you're holding right there. He's talking about the Bible. This is the record. You see, I don't know that I have eternal life by the way I feel. My emotions are up and down. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, sometimes I don't feel saved. Sometimes I just don't feel very good. Sometimes I don't feel happy. Sometimes I kind of feel down and depressed. Sometimes I'm just tired and weary. Sometimes I'm really excited about things. But I want to tell you something. My emotions don't... That doesn't determine whether I'm saved or not. This is what determines whether I'm saved or not. What's written in the book. This is the record. Now, how do I know I've got eternal life? Because I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I called out to Jesus and asked Him to do something for me. My Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let me ask you a question. I remember years ago listening to Jack Parchman. And Jack Parchman said this. He had that big old long bony finger. And he says, you better have a verse where you can hang your hat. Amen. Had that old long finger stick right up my nose. And you know what? I hung my hat on a verse. There's a verse I got in my hat hanging. And if there's somebody, now, Peter's sitting at the gate in heaven, and he says, why should I allow you to come into heaven? I've got this verse where my hat's hanging. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you a question. See that verse 13? What do I got right there? That's a hat. I got a hanging right there on that 13th. Every Bible I get, I put a hat right there on that verse 13. Brother Jack Parsons said, I need to have a hat hanging someplace on a verse that I can use. Folks, I want you to understand something. That's my verse. That's the verse I use. Because there was a day I called out to Jesus to do something for me I couldn't do. I asked Him to save me. My Bible says I'm saved. This is the record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have everlasting life. Do you know it? Then, the saved have a scripture. And I've already talked about hanging your hat on that scripture. But you better come up with a scripture. You better have a scripture that you're hanging on to. This is the scripture I'm hanging on to. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 13. What are you hanging on to? Are you hanging on to something that somebody said to you? No, that's not good enough. You know what? Somebody can lie to you. The Word of God is not going to lie.
Amen.
God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So if He said it, He's going to do it. If you call out to Him, ask Him to save you, He's going to do it. Hang your hat there. Come up with a verse. Have a verse that you can hang your hat on. I can remember, we used to have a pastor, Dr. Keith Knox. Dr. Keith Knox was a very special man of God. And he used to pastor up here in Auburn, Second Baptist Church in Auburn, New York. But when he was our pastor back in Tumwa, Iowa, at Calvary Baptist Church, every person that got saved in that church, when they went through the baptistry waters, they had to come up with a verse. There was none of this just getting in the baptistry water and getting baptized. You had to say a verse. And if you didn't have a verse, He wouldn't baptize you. You had to get out of the water. And I'll never forget one of our kids. I can't remember. I think it was Paul got in that baptistry water. And the preacher said, what do you got for a verse? And Paul said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dr. Knoss says, well, amen to that. I baptize you, my son, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Folks, you better have a verse. One of these days you're going to stand before a just and holy God. And he's not going to say, what'd you do? He's not going to say, well, did you go out and do good things? Well, yeah, I did all kinds of good things. I gave to the church. I gave to charity. No, no. He says, do you have a verse? Do you have a verse? Do you have a verse? I do. Better come up with something. Because if you don't, he's going to say, depart from the work of iniquity. I never knew you. Casting doubt or darkness for all of eternity. Folks, don't put it off until it's too late. The question tonight is this: are you saved? That's the big question. There's no more important question than that. I mean, it doesn't really matter anything else in your life right now. Are you saved? It's not, well, I think so. No, wait a minute. No. It's, I know so. And if you don't know so, there's a problem. Why gamble? Why put it off? Why walk out of here with a question mark? Know it. Get it settled. Don't put it off. Now is the time to get it settled. Get a verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get it settled tonight. You know, there's too many people out here. If you were to walk up to a lot of folks and say, are you saved? They'll say, well, I think so. No, that's not good enough. The I think so's don't get it. Lord, I think so. I think you saved me. No. He either saved you or he didn't save you. What happened? It's not an I think so there. It's an I know so. I hope so. No. It's not an I hope so thing. It's got to be I know so. Listen. You're laying there on that deathbed, and you're grasping that last breath, and you're just about ready to pass out of this world. Listen, you want to know some salvation at that time.
Amen.
You don't want to say, I'm hoping I'm going to heaven. No, I know I'm going to heaven. As I take that last breath, the next person I see will be my Savior. Don't take a chance. There's too many people taking chances. There's too many people gambling with this thing called eternity and salvation. Why gamble with it? Why take chances? Every time you walk out this church door without placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're gambling with eternity. You don't know if you'll ever have another opportunity to get saved. I had a 16-year-old boy in our services. 16-year-old boy, I know I've told you this story. I've told it every place I go. 16-year-old boy, he was fidgeting while I was talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel. He was fidgeting. And after the invitation, he walked out the door and I took him by the hand. I said, are you saved? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, later. Later. That next week, he took his motorcycle out and he took a curve too fast and wrapped that motorcycle around a tree and went out into eternity and never had another chance to trust Jesus Christ. He didn't have later. There's too many times I've seen people say, later, I'll do it later. Think about the things that can happen tonight. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You don't have later. The Bible never speaks in terms of later. It's always now. Are you saved? Now's the time. Let's get it settled tonight. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Tonight, you know the Lord is your Savior. You know without a shadow of doubt you're saved. Now don't lie to God in the church house. Don't play games with this thing. This is serious business now. Preacher, I know I'm saved. Would you just give testimony by raising your hand? I know it. I'm saved. Amen. Thank you for those hands. You can put them down. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I'm not here to drag you down an aisle. I'm not here to force you into any decision. But I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? Raise it so I can see it, so I can pray for you. Anybody at all? I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Anybody? I'm not saved.
Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now that You'll work a mighty work in this invitation. Lord, I've seen it happen too many times. I know our home church, we have people that come, it seems, almost every Sunday morning. They sit and they listen to a gospel message. They walk out of the church lost the way they walked in. The Holy Spirit of God's working in their heart, and they say, no, no, not now. Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how they could live life lost, knowing they're lost. One heartbeat away from hell. I don't know how somebody here could be lost, one heartbeat away from hell, and not make a decision for Christ. Lord, please, I pray, work a mighty work tonight. Holy Spirit of God, do a work in these hearts, Lord. I pray for these that are saved, that are truly born into the family of God. How could they live in the same house with somebody that's lost? How could they know someone in their family is lost without Christ, one heartbeat away from hell? Lord, please, help them to witness and tell others about Christ. Please help them to pray for those that are lost. Please help them to take advantage of this altar tonight. Please work a mighty work. Lord, we're asking for miracles. We're asking for something good to happen right now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm going to ask the piano to play. And while the piano plays, the invitation's open. If you're saved, you know the Lord is your Savior, just step out and come. You know somebody that's lost. You know somebody in your family. You know somebody you work with. Why don't you come? Pray for them. Pray that they'd get saved. Pray that you'd be able to witness to them and tell them about Jesus. Step out and come right now. You're here and you're lost without Christ. You see these folks at the altar. Why don't you come? Let someone show you from the Word of God how to be saved. Don't remain lost. Don't leave here lost. Let someone show you from the Word of God how to be saved. The most important thing in this life is to make sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, and to lead others to Christ.